coming up on episode 121 of Triton Cast, we're chatting with Big West champion Silvana Northrup from UC San Diego Cross Country. She made history when she became the first Triton to capture an individual cross country title, and we'll relive that excitement. She'll also tell us what's on her mind during a long run, how she preps for a new course, and so much more. Plus, we'll put Silvana on the hot seat with the return of our popular Quick Pick segment. You won't want to miss it. UC San Diego Cross Country's Silvana Northrup is in the Triton spotlight this week on TritonCast. Welcome to episode 121 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. I'm Jeff Turiel. No matter whether you found us on your favorite podcast platform or on ucsdtritons.com, thank you for joining us this week. Before we get to this week's Triton Spotlight, let's go around campus. Congrats to golf's Nathan Tsang for winning the Pearl at Kalaeo Invitational last week in Hawaii. The UC San Diego Athletics Hall of Fame inducted five new members as part of homecoming last weekend. New members are Alex Henley from women's swim, Renee Sproul-Cult from women's track and field, golf's Bruce Nakamura, men's volleyball's Tom Black, and longtime women's tennis coach Liz LaPlante. You can read more and check out photos on ucsdtritons.com. And this week's University Credit Union Athletes of the Week are Chloe Braun from women's swimming and Nathan Tsang from men's golf. Congrats to those two. Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. You're going to love today's chat with cross-country senior Silvana Northrup. She takes us on her journey from a failed soccer career as a youngster to cross-country champion. Silvana, let's start in Hawaii and just what that feeling was like winning the Big West Championship.
The feeling of winning was amazing. It was already really something being in Hawaii of all places. I had been looking forward to going there for the four previous years I was here. So finally getting to be there was really cool. And, you know, I really had been daydreaming about like what it would be like to win the race. That was the race plan going in. It wasn't unexpected. It was like something I knew I could do. So afterwards, I was tired and I was happy.
I take it you had never raced there before. What were the conditions like being more humid and probably warmer than certainly here at least?
Yeah, I mean, we've done a lot of heat prep this season specifically. We did Texas, Oklahoma, which were terribly hot. With a morning race, it's never like awful. So the heat was fine. The course was great. So it was pretty perfect conditions, I would say.
That's really cool. And what about things like the time difference? Is that, I mean, I guess if anything, it was easier going that direction.
It was a little easier going in that direction versus the other direction, because I would wake up at like 7 a.m. and feel so refreshed, and it felt like sleeping in, because it basically was. Time change, loved that. It was also super windy there, and I would get in my head and be like, ah, the girl behind me is drafting off of me. What am I going to do about this?
You mentioned your race plan going in. How do you get ready for a race? What does that entail?
To get ready for a race, I race plan with my coaches and with the team. It's important that we all hear each other's race plans so that we know what we're intending on doing. If we have someone super close behind us, we know why they're there, what their plan is. The plan for this one was go in, take the lead when I feel like it, and then make a move like when I do that and don't let anyone pass me. So.
And it obviously worked.
Yeah, it worked.
Amazing. How do you prep for a new course in general, one that you haven't raced on before?
That's a good question. For a new course, we try to get there a day before and do our pre-race on the course. So we usually fully run the course one time, just at a slower pace. Our pre-race is at like, I don't know, 7:15. So it's like nothing crazy. We try to take note of like different spots along the course and like spots that might be like tough or go spots kind of. I try to know the distance in like the last mile leading up to the finish, just so that I know like, okay, mile to go. Okay, like 1200 to go. Okay, 600 to go. Just so I know like what level of booking it I should be at in different places.
And when you're on the course for the first time, that maybe the day before the race, are you looking for a specific tree or rock or something like that to, I mean, how do you know when this is the spot?
For go spots, I mean, a lot of it is distance. You know, like we've run a ton of races and cross country races are all different. The only consistency is knowing like, okay, I know that I can run an 800 and like, this is what running an 800 feels like. So then you try to put yourself in that in a race. Like little spots are mostly just like, oh, watch out for that hole and stuff. And sometimes on other courses, if we ever have a lot of hills, we'll name the hills, which is my favorite part of whenever we get hills on courses. It's the only good part about it. And then that just helps in when we're like talking about prepping for the course and post-race chit-chat about that.
And what about a course like, say, UC Riverside that you're at annually? So you've been there many times before.
Yeah.
What do you learn maybe from one race to, that can help you the next time?
That's a good question. I mean, that's, it's kind of like, what do you learn in a track race? I mean, you're running the same thing every time. And since I've done Riverside so many times, it feels very familiar. So then what I learn has a lot to do with how my race went the last time. Like I'll learn more about, oh, I can push myself harder at this spot because it's not as far as I think. I can see a lot of fans at this spot, so I should be in a good spot when I get to them so that I can get nice things said about me and stuff like that.
You mentioned you and your teammates going over one another's race plans prior to. How do teammates, like how, in other words, how is cross country a team sport, right? Because by definition, it's individual. You're the one running, but how do you come together as a team and what does the team component entail?
Yeah, that's a great question. A huge like misconception about cross country is that it's a super individual sport because, you know, when you're in a race, oftentimes you're by yourself. A lot of my teammates like super get to work with each other. And then I sometimes get to work with my teammates too, if that's part of the race plan. But a big part of it is we train together. And that is like, it makes a world of difference. Training over the summer or the winter is horrible. And I look forward to practice like all the time, just because I get to run with people, like run with my teammates. It's like social and physical. It's perfect. It's like the best part of my day. So a lot of it is the training as part of it. Once you train with your teammates, you like get used to what it's like to push yourself with them and like for them kind of. With a team score, how it works is like the lowest, the fastest five get their place added up. So you want a low score like in golf. And if you're placing like worse, your team score is going to be worse at the end. So you just know like, okay, everyone's looking to me to get that low, low, low number. I have to do this for them. Cause if we miss a place by one, like people are going to, no one ever blames anyone, but like we blame ourselves, you know?
Let's go back to you in Honolulu recently, and you've said at the top that you had it in your plan to win that race and you knew you could do it. So for you, what kind of pressure is that you're putting on yourself leading into that?
That's a good question. It's a lot of pressure because it's very much like a yes or no. Like it's not like other races where it's like, okay, get in the top 10 and then anywhere in a top 10 is a win. It's like, when I come into this race, the reason like why I think I can win is because we all know each other's times. Like we're all ranked and seated and stuff. And so like I viewed myself as like the top ranked person going in. And the pressure, like that's one of the things that I've had to work on the most throughout my college career is like handling the pressure of it. Some races, like it doesn't help. But I think this race, it helped a lot because I had to build up the confidence to be able to like hang in front. And my teammates were all so supportive of me. Like anytime I would mention anything like, I hope I win, they'd be like, oh, you're going to win. We already know. And so just having their confidence very much like seeped into me throughout the like weeks leading up to it.
We've discussed on this podcast many times over the years, the department's transition to Division One and the 4 years of that. So for you in cross country last year in 2024, getting to compete in the Big West Championship for the first time, is there anything that you took from that that helped you this year, or is it apples and oranges kind of thing?
That's a good question. Last year, the comp was at Riverside. And it was, that race was, a lot more strategic than this one was. You know, we ran in a super big pack, and then at 2K to go, which is 4K in, they all took off and I like kind of fell off the back. So I knew that like all of my races continuing on from that, that was always in my head of like, I need to be able to hang on. I'll have to hang on to a pack. And so it's like a confidence boost knowing that I have more of that skill than I did before.
And one more on the Big West win a couple of weeks ago. What did you and your teammates, how did you celebrate?
Oh, we had a wonderful day in Hawaii. We went to the beach, which we have a great beach in San Diego, but it is not as warm as the Honolulu beach. We took a boat ride, which was so much fun. We got dinner with all of a ton of people's families came. So it was really cool to see like everybody getting to celebrate with their families. And we just had just such a nice adventure day. Nobody did any like homework. We just hung out at the beach. It was great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was so special.
Our guest on TritonCast this week, Silvana Northrup, Big West champion in women's cross country. How did you get into running?
I got into running a long, long time ago, back in like elementary school. When we would do those miles in class, I would always be in the front and, you know, positive reinforcement makes you keep doing stuff. My family are all runners. Like my parents both ran in college. My grandma was like a crazy good marathoner. So I have that background in the family. And then I really got into running when I didn't make the soccer team in eighth grade. And I was like, ooh, no cut sport. I got you, cross country. So after that, it was like, I just stayed in because I loved it so much.
I mean, there are some similarities, right? Maybe not the soccer ball so much, but in soccer, there's a lot of running around throughout the match.
It totally is. Yeah. That was the only part I was ever good at. Once I got the ball, I lost it immediately every time. I'm terrible at soccer.
And so for you, it sounds like maybe running was always there, but was it always distance?
Yeah, it was always distance. It was like, since I ran and like got reinforcement from it, I just ended up enjoying it and just having fun, like running around. You know, all the little kid games that you play are running based, like all the tag, hide and seek tag games, those are all running. And so I think I just enjoyed it. Felt like a fun little game for me.
Were you participating in other sports as a kid?
I did soccer until I got cut. And then I did a season of volleyball, which wasn't for me either. And I did some gymnastics and stuff, but running was the only one that stuck.
When did you get quasi serious or serious about it?
Eighth grade, which sounds silly, like middle school serious, but I was like, this is my life now. I will do this forever. I was in New Hampshire at that point, and it was like my first year in a new school, and I just loved the cross country team. I loved the competition. I loved getting to push myself. And I loved feeling fast. Like, how fast can you go? It was so fun.
Plus fall in New Hampshire, that's about as gorgeous as it gets.
Our home course was on like an apple orchard. So we would race and then go get like cider donuts. Like, that's a dream.
I mean, we live in an amazing place here in San Diego area, but we don't really have seasons.
No, not really. Hey, I don't mind.
Fair enough. So you're in high school and you're starting to look at colleges. How did you ultimately end up here in La Jolla?
I was narrowing it down based off of cognitive science programs. I kind of threw a dart, picked a major, and I was like, this one sounds fun. I will pick a school on cognitive science. And then once I had my pool, I was like, San Diego. That's going to be my top school, I think. And then I got recruited during COVID. So all of my recruit trips and stuff and visits, like I didn't have any of that. I only met teams through Zoom and like calling their coaches and stuff. And UCSD was like leagues above everyone else in terms of recruiting. Like they got us on a Zoom call with the whole team. We got to talk to everybody and like multiple of those. So I was like, okay, I think this is the one for me. This one, they are really going above and beyond.
That's amazing to hear. And so when you ultimately decided to come to UC San Diego, you got here and it was still COVID-esque. I mean, right? Like, what was that experience like for you getting settled and being new to college and then also having to deal with the restrictions from the pandemic?
Oh, this is so funny because, I mean, since I'm a fifth year, all of the seniors here like at the school. They didn't go through this year, but we had to COVID test every single, like every morning. We had to submit a green thumb for practice to make sure that we were good to come. And I just kept hearing stories from the people before me about their last season, how they had to race in masks and stuff. So that was all a hoot and holler. We were like double masking on planes, but I didn't mind. Like, it had already been reality for us for so long, so it wasn't that big of a deal.
Was that the case for you towards the tail end of high school?
Yeah. Yeah. That was wild how sports just collapsed. Like, the races they would be putting on were like loops around school, like small groups. They would be like, you fast enough to get beat in a boys' race? Get on in, kid. It was ridiculous.
That's so interesting. And then just college in general, how did you settle in here and kind of find your way?
I would say I settled in around sophomore year. It took a sec. Around sophomore year, I feel like I found my voice on the team. I found like people I was super close to, which is huge. I'm a huge proponent of having friends to hang out with every single day. School here was really similar to school in high school. For me, my high school is pretty competitive, so that was like a really easy transition. And being on the team, best way to make friends ever. I love it.
And then we talked a bit ago about kind of the role teammates play in this sport. So how did you and your classmates and teammates develop that chemistry?
That's a great question. I mean, there's something about doing a painful activity with other people that really bonds you. It's like, I don't want to say trauma bonding to that extent, but when you're like 90 deep into a long run and like turning around to come home and you're with your buddies and you guys are like jamming to music, it's like a great feeling. You just like look around and you're like, wow, I feel great. I feel so proud of these people I'm with. I'm so happy I'm here with them. And you know, you get chit-chatting a lot about your life on a long run. So it's really like a great way to hang out with people.
So you're 90 minutes in and you're having a conversation like you and I are right now.
Definitely not like this. On the long runs, I started like in my senior year, this is my super senior year, but my senior year, I started like being serious about my long run pace. So I'm like, okay, nothing above 7. So at that point we're not super chit chatty, but recovery runs, we actually do our own podcast. Sometimes we call it Long Detox Show, which we don't record. We just do it amongst ourselves, but we do a lot of chit chatting like that on our recovery runs.
All right. After we're done here, we'll have to chat about that, 'cause I'd love to find a way to start recording some of that, 'cause that's probably gold.
I got to get you on Long Detox Show one day.
As long as I can be adjacent and maybe like a golf cart, that sounds fine.
No.
I don't know about the running part. Amazing. Yeah. That's so amazing. So then let's talk about your major, Silvana, and cognitive science. Like, what drew you to that? You said you threw a dart, but in all seriousness, what drew you to that, and what might that lead to when you're done here?
Yeah, of course. I got super into computer programming in high school. Like, I avoided it forever. And then like towards the end of high school, my mom made me take a class. I was like, I don't want to do this. I took it. I loved it. And I also have been super into psychology and like the way that human like thought process works. So I fully thought cognitive science would be like a perfect blend of them together. And what I found here was that there is so much freedom with the cognitive science major. So I just got to take classes that I wanted. I spun it into kind of as much of a computer science major as I could. So I got to take a lot of really cool programming classes and a lot of cool like psychology adjacent classes. And so I think I did college like the fun way, where I got to tailor make my major.
And how have you been able to balance the demands of your sport with a major that's not that easy?
I mean, all the student athletes have been doing it since freshman year of high school. You know, like, we all know about time management, and especially I think having a sport helps me structure my time well, because it's like a break in the day, especially when it comes to track season and we're practicing midday. It's like, okay, school in the morning, when you're burnt out, you get it like a brain break and you get to like move around a bunch, and then you can do whatever you want in the evening.
So what works for you in terms of staying organized? Like, how do you do it?
Staying organized. I mean, every, like, all the free time that I have, I do homework, but I don't give myself a lot of free time because I truly live my life as, like, what fun thing am I going to do today? I'm constantly, like, planning things to do, doing, like, game nights, adventure days with my friends and stuff. So I just do work when I'm not running or having fun, and that works for me.
Sounds like a pretty good way to go.
It's a great way to go. I don't mind it at all.
So I want to ask you about track, but we'll get to that in a second because cross country is not done yet. You got the West Regionals coming up later this week in Sacramento. Okay. So how do you prepare for that? And clearly, just based on your reaction, you're pretty excited about it.
I'm so excited. In terms of prep, I mean, the best thing to do is just to keep your habits that you've been having. So I do my best to get as much sleep as I can. I'm like, we have our training plan that is baller banger. I love it. And to mentally prep for that, I have a big job ahead of me. So I have to start building on my confidence for that.
And how do you go about that?
Building up my confidence. A lot of what I do is research my competitors. When I know who I'm running against, then I feel like I can have a better idea of what I have to do. So I will research people and look at whose 5Ks are slower than mine and be like, you can beat them.
Okay. That works. That works. So then how does the regional work in terms of how do you have to perform to move on to NCAAs after that?
So the way that regionals works, this is a good question because it wasn't a concern until 2 years ago when we could actually join.
Right.
The way that it works for the West region, we get two auto qualifiers for teams. The top two teams move on. There are a bunch of at-large bids in the school, and we're projected to get three. So I can count on 2 to 3. For individual-wise, because right now we're ranked like 12th. We would have to finish 5th in order to move on as a team. But individual-wise, the top four individuals who are not on one of those teams that go get to go as well. So I'm ranked 5th among the four individuals. So I'm really close this year. And that's my goal. Like, that's what I want out of regionals, because that would be huge if I made it to nationals. I am like really wanting this to happen.
Oh, that's so incredible. And it's well within reach and quite doable. Mm-hmm. I do want to ask you, not specifically related to Sacramento, but just at large, you mentioned wind in Hawaii. So how does weather play a part in race day, and how can you prepare for that? Or can you?
That is so topical because it's going to be raining the whole time we're in Sacramento.
Oh, fun.
Okay. In a way, it shouldn't affect us because we're all experiencing it together. But some weather affects some people more than others. And so I know I do not do well in heat. I do not do well with hills. Those are like my two kryptonites. I love being in rain. And so the fact that we're racing in rain, there's a little part of my brain where I'm like, I'm actually kind of excited that it's raining because I think I like it more than other people. But yeah, that's kind of how I view weather. It's like we're all experiencing it together. Some people just have a little bit more affinity for some than others.
That's so interesting. And I'd imagine for some, it could very much be a mental hurdle and affect their performance.
Totally. Yeah. Running in the rain is like one of the greatest joys in life for me. I love it. It's so cool. Mostly because we live in San Diego and I don't experience it that often. Like, I feel like if I lived in Portland, I might change my tune. But for now, it's like special, you know?
Yeah. And one more on that kind of genre, I don't know if that's the right word, but we'll go with it. So not weather, but, and it won't be the case in Sacramento, but altitude, like how does that, or could that affect you? And how do you even, I mean, prepare for it other than getting to the place maybe a little earlier than you otherwise might?
Altitude is like different than weather. Altitude's a huge deal because it's like lack of oxygen in the air. I don't know if you know, but we go to Mammoth for like a week and a half before a season starts, which is also like, it makes me feel like the luckiest girl in the world. I love Mammoth so much. It's like a 10-day vacation where you just have to do some hard runs. And that is really where you make your friends. But altitude in Mammoth is like a big deal. Like the first 2, 3, 4 days we're in Mammoth is like, Nate, our coach, will be like, all right, like Oh, this is really an effort-based run. Like, don't be looking at your watch. Go on effort because you will be slower. It's like there's a mathematical equation for converting your time. So altitude's huge.
Our guest on Triton Cast, Silvana Northrup from Cross Country. So when this season ends, which won't be for a little while longer, let's hope, we'll turn our attention to track and field. How do you make that mental adjustment to go from cross country to track?
It's not a hard adjustment to make because since we're distance, I run long distance in track. It's kind of doing the same thing, just in loops instead of like on a course. The main differences are that we have a bigger team now. So like it's meeting up with the rest of our track fam.
Is that something where while track athletes are practicing in the fall, your practice for track is essentially your cross-country season? Is that sort of a fair assessment or not so much?
I would say that's not super the assessment. I mean, cross country is so special on its own that it's like its own thing. And it's kind of just like we get two seasons of something really cool. So I don't really view one as practice for another. Whenever I'm in a season, I can look at the other season as like practice for that season, kind of.
I gotcha. So then as you head into what will be your final track and field season as a Triton, I know we can pause for sadness, but how do you view it? Are you soaking things in? Like, this is the last time I'm ever gonna, whatever.
No, like, I am. I am. And like the girls on my team have caught me like crying at some points and been like, "Aw, this is the last time I'll see you guys put your shoes on a Friday in October." Like, I'm so sentimental about this because running has been my life for, like, I've been competitive running. This is my 10th year of my life and I'm 22. Like, it's been the majority of my life. I've been a competitive runner. And so for that to be ending so soon is very sentimental to me.
Well, you still got some time, but post-grad, what do you want to do with your life? And I assume you will keep running in some capacity.
Oh, don't we all love that question? What are you going to do with your life post-grad? I will keep running. That's going to be a part of my life forever. The extent to which I keep running will depend on like what I'm doing at the time. Every summer I've gotten an internship that's been a 40-hour work week, and doing that in summer training is exhausting. So while I would love to like keep training at a collegiate level and, you know, compete in this way forever, I don't know if it would make sense, like, unless, because there's no money in pro running unless you're like cracked. But for like a mediocre runner like me, I just don't think I can make it like a career out of it, unless that was really like all I wanted to do. But yeah, so running wise, it will always be in my life. I just don't know how much yet.
And then what are you thinking in terms of career? What would you like to do one day?
That's a great question. I love programming. I think it's so much fun. But more important than that is like, I want to work in an industry that I'm passionate about. Specifically, some of the things that I would love to work on are like national parks, anything that has to do with environmental tech, solving homelessness crisis, and working with people, which is hard for software engineering because a lot of times you're very removed from like the people that you're helping, which is a problem that I faced in a lot of my summer internships. I have fun with my team, but I'm like, aw, am I even helping anyone? So that would be the dream, to get into a career where I can feel like I'm helping people while using my superpower of coding, which I love.
Silvana, that's amazing. Our guest on Triton Cast, Silvana Northrup, cross country and coming soon track and field. You ready for some quick picks?
Yes.
All right. This one, I don't even know why I'm asking, but indoors or outdoors?
Outdoors.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
Ocean or pool?
Ocean. I love natural body of water, but also lake. Lake for that one.
Oh, I'm going to have to add that in. I don't think we've ever offered that as an option.
For sure, lake. I'm like a Sierra Nevada's girl. Like, I love our ocean, but like backpacking to a lake, unmatched.
Beach or mountains?
Stop. No, both, but beach because I'm here.
Fair enough. Favorite food?
Drunken noodles from Thai food.
Very specific. Has that evolved over time or has that always been the go-to?
That's been the go-to for like all of when I've had my own money. Like whenever I can pick where I go to eat, as soon as I like started having my own money, I was like, oh yeah, it's going to be Thai food.
Favorite topping on a pizza?
Okay, so controversial, but broccoli. Like, sorry, I'm an SF girl. I think it's so good.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs. I love dogs.
Peanut butter, creamy or crunchy?
Crunchy.
Shopping in-store or online?
I think in-store. I like tootling, which is when you go out to shop but don't buy anything. I'm not a big, like, go out shopping for fun kind of person. But I do love, like, window shopping and then sometimes, like, getting a little something.
Reading or writing?
That's a tough one. I would say I enjoy reading more. That one's really hard because I feel like they're so different. One of them is consuming and one of them is producing. And both of them are so important. They're like a circle for each other, you know?
That's such a good way to look at it. I love that. All right. Dreamer or realist?
I'm a dreamer for sure.
Favorite type of music?
I love indie pop. I love when you can tell the person who is singing it is the person who wrote it. That's a big part of it for me.
Podcasts or playlists?
Well, now I feel biased because I'm on a podcast right now.
So, nobody ever chooses that. You're fine.
Podcast playlist.
Got it.
I don't really listen to podcasts unless I'm on it.
Fair enough. All right. So this will be the first. Love it. French toast, pancakes, or waffles?
That's a super good one. I think waffles. I think they're so much fun to eat. They're so, like, there's so much texture in them. But I do like making pancakes the best because I would always have people over for sleepovers and make them pancakes in the morning. So those are sentimental to me.
All right. You said reading or writing was unfair. So how about books or movies?
Books in an ideal scenario. I read when I have time and I love reading when I have time, but during like busy school, I can't make time for it.
Favorite season?
My favorite season, is fall. I love fall. Everything good happens in fall. There's cross country in fall. There's like cookies in fall. Like you can bake cookies. I love, going outside in the fall and my birthday's in the fall. So it's a good one.
Coffee or tea?
I like coffee. I've been getting into it lately. It's fun. I'm like a social coffee drinker. My teammates always go out for it and I'm like, oh, twist my arm. Don't make me get it. I will.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
My favorite ice cream flavor, anything with like chunkiness in it. So like cookie dough, like brownie batter. Those are all the good ones. I like when it's like a little treasure hunt.
Cup or cone?
Always cone because like you get extra food that way. Like it's more economical.
Phone calls or texts?
I like phone calls. Yeah.
Favorite holiday?
My favorite holiday, Thanksgiving, because there's not really the pressure of getting people presents, which I do enjoy, but it is stressful. And every year my family and I make dumplings for Thanksgiving, which is really fun.
Singing or dancing?
I was singing. Oh, everyone knows that. I sing all the time.
You good?
No.
Okay. Respect that. Which one of your teammates is the funniest?
Crystal.
Which one of your teammates thinks they're the funniest?
Probably me. Wait, I'm not a teammate. Oh, that's too hard. Crystal. She knows it.
Who's the best cook?
The best cook? Nora. Oh my God. Every time we go to Mammoth, Nora, just she's unmatched. She's so good.
One thing about you that would surprise even your friends?
I'm such an open book. Like everyone actually knows everything about me. So that's, can I like think for a second?
I mean, if that's the answer, that's fine.
Wait, no. Something about me.
This thinking face is fantastic that the people can't see right now.
You guys can't see it. I'm scared of getting my hair cut.
Like you actually fear it.
I just like, it stresses me out to no end. I can't do it and I can't think about it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll end here then.
Oh, great. Great note to end on.
Now, if you could play or if you could have played one other sport at UC San Diego for one day and assuming you'd be good at it, what sport would
you? Soccer. Soccer's so fun. I'm just horrible at it. I wish I was as good as them. They look like they are so cool. Like they're awesome.
Silvana, thanks so much for the time. This has been amazing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for interviewing me. This was so fun.
How awesome was that? Really enjoyed getting to know Silvana this week. She and her Triton teammates are in action Friday in Sacramento to take part in the NCAA West Regional with a spot in the NCAA Championship on the line. Well, coming up next week on Triton Cast, we'll be joined by Big West Women's Soccer Freshman of the Year, Ava Tybor. Hers is an incredible story of perseverance, and you won't want to miss it. Be sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcasting platform so you don't miss a moment. New episodes of Triton Cast premiere on Wednesdays. Thank you for listening this week, and don't forget, you can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms by searching TritonCast wherever you get pods. And a reminder, you can listen to any of our 121 episodes anytime on demand. Just visit ucsdtritons.com/podcasts. For more on TritonCast, follow us on X at TritonCast. And if you have a suggestion for a future guest, send us a tweet or email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. We'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.